And you're listening to the Community Connection right here on WFIW AM 1390 and 103.3 FM. I'm your host, Jeremy Smith, being joined by Sarah Rush.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. How are we doing today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you being here, especially seeing as how this is a new transition for
right,
all of us.
Right, yeah.
It's going to be some big shoes to fill, but I think we're going to do our best to do it.
I think you will.
You got a lot of information going on. Where do you want to start? How about the, let's talk about the ALLOT program.
Yes, Agriculture Leaders of Tomorrow through the Illinois Farm Bureau. Mm-hmm. We began, this year was different, obviously, most things are, right?
Right.
In the past, it's been an all-in-person event. In fact, last year's group, their graduation was set just as the world was shutting down. Mm-hmm. And so it generally runs from January to March each year. And so they've spent the last 9 months from last March till this January, the training and development group at Illinois Farm Bureau in Bloomington, trying to come up with a plan for a virtual format. And then just as we began, the week before we were going to begin meeting virtually, changes came through the state of Illinois, Illinois Department of Public Health, and then we shifted to a hybrid type of program where we had more in-person and a mixture of in-person and virtual. And there's some things we couldn't do. In February, they always have the Ag Legislative Days up in Springfield, and those weren't even in-person for anybody this year.
Wow.
And so that was usually a two-day event where got to meet with legislators and lobbyists. And so they did their best to continue that event, not just for this program, but for, you know, membership throughout Illinois. But we were able to do our graduation last week in person. And then we had a couple different days that we met in Mount Vernon at the Doubletree in the big ballrooms. And we're able to, one day was a two-day event. And the others were just one days, you know, 9 to 3, 9 to 4, going through the information and the presentations they had for us that day. And but again, all the presenters over and over and over were so thankful to be in person. And many said, this is the first time we've been in person in a year. It feels so good to be back in front of people rather than trying to teach, guide, you know, what have you in a Zoom call.
Right. So. You know, it's definitely proven to be a different world since things have transitioned to the hybrid and the remote style learning. So any type of face-to-face interaction
right
now is definitely welcome, especially when you think about these young kids.
Right.
These kids are used to social interaction every day of their lives.
Yeah.
And now they've been pulled separate away from. So groups like this give them that ability to get back together in that
And
atmosphere.
Honestly, it was a win-win for me. I've wanted to do this program for several years. It rotates in terms of different portions of the state. Anyone can apply for it, but they try to move it around in different regions so that people are not having, like, taking a two-day event and turning it into, like, a three-and-a-half-day event because they've got to drive so far to attend in person. So when I knew it was back in our area, but it was also a mixed format of both in-person and virtual, it really was a win-win for me. I mean, we've got two very active kids. And again, as this took off, so did the kids' activities.
Right.
And different activities, you know, in the community that I'm involved with. I mean, all of those things are beginning to come back, you know, more in person now, of course, with all the safeguards in place.
Right.
So it didn't bother me. They asked repeatedly. Some would say, well, what are we missing? What are we missing? And they know they're more familiar with training and development through Illinois Farm Bureau, whether their spouse has gone through this program or whether they've served on the State Young Leader Committee or they are a county Farm Bureau manager. I didn't know. I went into it kind of naive and blind, and so I didn't know any different than the format that I was enrolled in. So,
right.
Yeah.
Now, you know, speaking of this program, you talked about how, you know, some people, maybe their spouse was in the program, maybe they were in the program, maybe they knew someone that was in the program. But for those people that might be listening that up until now haven't heard about the program, you spend a little bit on how you get into this program and what some of the benefits are, because I know there are several different, whether it be the Farm Bureau, whether it be 4-H, whether it be FFA, there are several different agricultural-based student curriculum and activities and clubs. But what differentiates this? How does someone go about getting into this?
Right.
That sort of information.
This is really a leadership and personal development program through the Illinois Farm Bureau. So this is open. It's great for someone living in a smaller rural community that is has a large portion of their economic sector based in agriculture.
Right,
okay.
Right.
So, and we're trying to train future leaders for those communities. But it's also good for if you have any hope or passion or ideas about serving, you know, at a county level, at a state level, even at a national level. Illinois Farm Bureau is very well connected, and their training and development portion of Illinois Farm Bureau is just second to none. I mean, that the individuals that talk to us that work for Farm Bureau full-time said, you know, other states have tried to replicate many programs that are offered through Illinois Farm Bureau, particularly the Adopt-a-Legislature program, and they can't do it, you know. And so we just have a rich history, but for me, it starts at this training and development level. And so, again, I teach part-time at the college. I substitute teach, and I help my husband with our farming operation. And I'm a mom. So you think, well, what can agriculture leaders of tomorrow do for me? How can it help me? Well, it really, honestly, it kind of re-energized me in terms of my teaching. I also volunteer as a junior achievement teacher. I can't believe the information, the amount of information I learned in these sessions that apply to what I'm talking to these kids about at the fifth grade level and can make it more kind of life applicable, because it's information that, you know, they drive through the country and see. And it just, again, it just really, you know, re-energized me in a lot of ways. But I also understand the importance of identifying people in your community to serve in leadership positions and positions of influence, particularly in an agriculture community. We want to be well represented at the table in our communities, in our counties, in our regions, so that the things that are important to us in terms of policy are either continued or passed or revised or what have you to protect the industry of agriculture.
That's fantastic. There's nothing more important than getting these young minds interested at a young age, not just in agriculture, but in, like you said, public service.
Right.
Whether it be state service. Now, you talked about the Adopt a Legislature. Let's expand on that a little bit.
Right. Well, again, this is a program through the Illinois Farm Bureau. Mm-hmm. You know, it was one of the many programs that we were educated on. Mm-hmm. But basically, they take individuals, volunteers from traditionally downstate Illinois, and they pair them with legislators at the state level in northern Illinois or more urban areas of our state, and so that they have a better understanding of what life is like on a farm in rural Illinois, so that they understand the policies that they are drafting, mm-hmm. that they are supporting, that they are voting on, how that is going to affect the industry of agriculture across the state, not just in their region or area.
That's fantastic to hear, especially considering the vast difference between the northern part of the state and the southern part of the state. As we've seen over the years, there's almost a cultural
shift,
dividing
right.
line.
Yes,
right,
absolutely.
There at that center point, maybe
right.
the lower two-thirds
of the state. It's
really
I-80.
Right,
you
exactly.
know?
So it's great to hear that kind of brings a little bit of, you know, the rural local farm to the bigger city
right.
area and puts
right.
it more in the forefront.
Yeah.
Now, you were talking about some of the junior achievement situations that you've got going on with Junior Achievement. Right. I hear you've got a couple of local success stories.
We do. We hope that we can come back at a later date and kind of shine a spotlight on a potential small business that's evolved out of this experience. Again, this is another program that's local that they've had to revamp and go to a virtual format. I have, for a number of years, I've always had fifth grade. When I first started, I was out at Jasper in Eric Bassinet's fifth grade classroom. And then an individual, his daughter moved into fifth grade, and he's another volunteer with the program locally. And he asked, hey, can I bump you? I'd like to have my daughter's class. Absolutely. I'm a parent. I know right. how important that is when kids get to see their parents in a classroom. You know, right. it's a really, it's important. Kids value it. And so absolutely, I was willing to change. And then I got to move to Center Street with my good friend, Day Harvey, who teaches fifth grade. And usually I only have, they have block scheduling at Center Street. So usually I just get one block, about 20 kids. Well, this year, because it was virtual, the idea was I would Zoom in. I actually joined them via Google Classroom from my couch. joined in virtually, and I was able to introduce the lesson to all three blocks this year. So oh, wow. we had appointments at 8:30, 8:20, 9:20, and 10:30. Wow. And it was about, I can't believe how much we accomplished through my introduction of the lesson, probably averaged 5 minutes, five different sessions, so a total of 25 minutes of volunteering, and kids apparently responded to it. I don't know if they're just missing, you know, that interaction. At Center Street, they're not moving classes. The teachers moved to them, so there maybe this was just a new face to see.
right.
But they were really excited about it this year. And I think, again, too, because of, you know, my recent experiences since January, like I said, it re-energized me. And I would pick up on a statistic and think, oh, my gosh, I can use this in JA, or I can use this in my classroom out at the college, or an activity we worked on. You know, through a lot, I'm like, I can totally do this in Pathways to Success at the college, which is a first-year experience course for mm-hmm. all first-year students. So, right. It's just amazing how everything has kind of translated and evolved and overlapped one another in terms of just education as a whole.
Education is one of the most important factors, getting in young, getting those minds honed young, interested young,
absolutely.
Sharpened young. And that actually pretty much answers the next question I was going to ask you. So I was going to ask how you've seen, as far as the remote learning, how that's affected, whether that's brought in more attention or whether that's kind of driven a little bit of the numbers down. But it seems, yeah. from what you were saying, it seems like it may,
I think,
be just enough of something different to kind of
right.
wake them up.
I think there's, at the college level, in the past, I've had to have an attendance policy. Mm-hmm. This year, we were instructed not to have one. You never know who's going to be in close contact quarantine. You never know right. who's going to be sick. Right. And I've had better attendance this year than I've ever had teaching.
Wow.
I think particularly the first year students who missed out on so much of their senior years really value in-person learning.
Longing for that.
Yeah.
That connection.
I think of all the, you know, complaints, frustrations that have come out of coronavirus, it's my sincere prayer, wish, hope, dream that our appreciation for public educators grows.
This has definitely shed a spotlight.
Absolutely.
On you know, not just the work that public educators do, but the lack of
respect
that they are shown.
Right.
The amount of influence that's not necessarily always realized
right.
that is going on until that's not there anymore.
Exactly.
And, you know, as these minds grow a little older, they tend to go on their own separate paths and develop their new beliefs or hobbies or habits, whatever you want to
right.
call them, along the way. That being said, since you've been doing this, how much retention in the field of agriculture are you seeing as far as some of the students you've worked with over recent years? Do you see that they've carried on more, or do they seem to get to a certain point where they're just like, okay, that was fun, now let's do something else as we see kids do?
Right. Well, I think it's kind of a difficult answer. Because the things that I have learned through the ALLOT program are so recent, I don't necessarily know the answer to that question today. It's going to take a couple years. Right. But I do know that, again, agriculture to Wayne County is a vital aspect of our economic sector. And we need to be investing at all levels of education, through, you know, agriculture in the classroom, through our high school FFA, and even at the collegiate level, we need to be helping kids identify careers and job opportunities off the farm.
Right.
Off the farm. And there are so many in the field of agriculture. It's such a diverse field. We need accountants, right? We need accountants in Fairfield to, you know, not only help farmers set up their business operations, their private LLCs, file their tax returns. Mm-hmm. Think about how important accountants have been in the last 9 months with the PPP
yes.
loans through our federal government and the yes. stimulus packages that mm-hmm. have been passed. And now all that's coming to a head as we file our taxes. And what does this mean? And what does that mean? We need individuals with an agriculture background from a 2-year industry or 2-year institution or a 4-year institution that can go to work at our local USDA and FSA office that have some type of background in accounting and can read resolutions, you know, and have that understanding and communicating with farmers, you know, to help them understand new policy and crop insurance and that type of information that is. And we also need technology.
Yes.
I cannot believe just in the short time that I have been around the agriculture industry, how much technology has changed in 10 years. My husband farms full time. He was either planting a field or harvesting it in the field behind his cousin's house. The cousin's son hopped in at 5 or 6 years old, made a pass, and he wanted out. And mom came out and said, "Are you done already?" And the little boy shrugged his shoulders, said, "It drives itself."
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So, but we have like all areas of society, we have an aging population.
Right.
Technology is intimidating
is.
To our aging farmers, right?
It is.
But we also need individuals who understand that technology, that can service that technology, mm-hmm. that can offer, you know, customer service in
right.
terms of calling in and I can't get my mapping guidance established, you know, on my planter.
Right.
It's vast and diverse, and we're just not doing a good job of exposing our kids to, you don't have to work on a farm to still work within the industry. You know, we need agronomists. I mean, we
yeah.
need scientists. We need people to understand, you know, seed production and making, mm-hmm. you know, products that are weed resistant and
right.
chemists, all of those things.
Right.
And, you know, again, it's vast, it's diverse. And if we want to keep kids here to, you know, give back and live in the community in which they were raised,
right.
we got to expose them to all these different opportunities. I just don't think they know. And I'm passionate about the fact that it doesn't start at their junior or senior year of high school. It starts when they're fourth, fifth, sixth grade.
Right. And that's why programs like the Farm Bureau, like 4-H, like FFA are so important. I grew up in the FFA myself, come from a farm background myself down in Saline County. And it's amazing how, like you said, until you get into it, you don't realize how multifaceted the agricultural industry is, whether it be agribusiness, agriscience, you know, whether it be the
and
business
it's
portion
continuing
of it, the
to grow.
Portion.
I mean, when we start thinking about, you know, energy diversity. Mm-hmm. They're talking about a term I heard that we didn't even touch on. It was just kind of thrown out last week, was carbon banking. Like, what's carbon banking? And I mean, we don't have the time to even go into that. But currently with, you know, the federal administration in place, I mean, they're going to be talking about, you know, lot energy other than oil. Right. And so we need to be on out in front of that. Right. We don't want to be behind the eight ball on that.
The early bird catches the worm.
That's right. That's right.
I tell you what, these programs like this are something that we love to see, especially, like you said, in an area like, you know, Wayne County, Edwards County, Wabash, Hamilton, Saline, this area down here being as agriculturally minded as it is. For someone that might be listening today that says, you know, this sounds pretty interesting. This sounds pretty good. I'd like to know more. In the final few minutes, tell everyone how they would go about getting a hold of you or someone else to get the ball moving towards maybe growing their interest in this field and other parts of the agricultural field.
If the person is already out of high school, right, they're at a collegiate level or even already in the workplace, mm-hmm. they're going to want to follow the area County Farm Bureau Facebook pages. Farm Bureau communicates very well, but they can also contact their County Farm Bureau office and ask particularly about the ALOT program, or a lot. It depends on where you live, how it's pronounced, like lots of things. The next session would begin next January. It will probably be in a different area of the state. Doesn't mean you can't attend it. It's just going to have more travel involved for you, so it might not next year might not be a practical year for you. But the group is limited to 25 participants. This year we had 14.
Now, is this a limit that's always been there, or is this because of COVID?
I believe so. No, I think it's always limited. They want to. It's a small group. And I think they feel like they can accomplish more with a smaller type of setting versus large numbers.
Wonderful.
It's a revered program. There's an application process. There's an interview process. It's multifaceted. So it's not just sign up and attend. I mean, attendance is very important. Now this year, of course, again, if you wake up, sore throat, loss of taste and smell, fever, stay home.
Right.
We'll figure out a way, you know, to get you the material or zoom in.
Right.
But in the past, if you're accepted, you're expected to be there. And over 1,100 participants have gone through this program since it began. And Illinois Farm Bureau members committed to serving as a leader and spokesperson for agriculture will benefit. And again, these are, you know, individuals in our rural communities that we want people, again, to develop these skills to kind of step out and lead, whether it's on a school board, a county board, within some township supervisor, road commissioner, you know, any of these types of individuals serving in these positions can benefit from this program. But you do have to be a Farm Bureau member, so.
Well, there you go. Everybody needs to get out. Join the Farm Bureau, even if you don't want to be part of this program, because there are a lot of benefits to joining the Farm Bureau. I myself am a Farm Bureau member. I try to take advantage of the discounts at any possible location that I can.
Well, but the benefits go beyond. We start thinking back to the fall and the governor's push for the progressive tax. I mean, Illinois Farm Bureau was paramount in educating the state on the downsides of that legislation. But also, the President Giebert of Illinois Farm Bureau spoke to us on last Wednesday morning, and that was the number one question, you know, member engagement and, you know, different areas, different counties set their own dues, and, you know, dues are going up. What am I getting for this? And as President Giebert said, you know, every time it comes up on, you know, tax incentives on certain equipment or what have you, if, you know, they can benefit from those incentive programs, that's more than paid for your dues for your lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so
there are benefits that long exceed the financial portion, even beyond
those local discounts that in Wayne County, you know, they're so good to offer those and work with the Farm Bureau. And I know, you know, the local office and the board really appreciates that. But beyond that, there's and, you know, this program, you know, it's a member benefit. There, you know, there are some costs involved, and Wabash Valley picks up a portion of it, and the local Farm Bureau county office picks up the other portion of it. And so, again, all those, you know, local impact grants and the 4-H grants and, you know, scholarships that they offer, that's all member benefits. That's all member benefits. So it's beyond what we think when we get our little discount card. It's much more than that.
It is a whole lot more than that. And I would suggest and recommend even for everybody to hold their local Farm Bureau representative. Join today. If you have an individual in your family that's interested in the Agricultural Leaders of Tomorrow, look further into that. They've got a lot going on down there at the Farm Bureau. And we're going to have you back in here in about a week.
We hope to be bringing in a couple of junior achievers and talking about the success stories. Yeah.
We appreciate you being here, and we appreciate the work you're doing, and we look forward to our next visit. And that's about all the time we've got today for this edition of the Community Connection. Again, you've been listening to WFIW AM 1390 and 103.3 FM. I'm Jeremy Smith. My guest has been Sarah Rush.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you so much for being here. Have a great rest of your day.